going to be the next offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals.
So I get music like this, I'll be coming off the ball in a minute. Who wants some?
There you go, Bully.
Three-point stance. Who wants some?
Furl the brow, man.
Bring it!
The eye black on. Smear it down the cheek.
When's the first full pad, full contact practice? July 28th.
Okay. Day three of training camp is.
I got to pace myself.
Probably August 1st. Moving it back. Not a new coaching staff, though. Move it up. Yeah!
As the Wolf makes the calendar for Cliff Kingsbury, the Burns and Gambo yesterday had Courtney Cronin on. She is the Vikings reporter for ESPN, and I was interested in one thing that she said that I think you've got. I don't know if she's right, but it's one of those things where if this is true, if you didn't hear our previous conversation, I'm not concerned about it, but I'm wondering, okay, every coach has got to be able to check his ego at the door when you're going in and a college football coach, a fired college football coach, is the leader of the Arizona Cardinals right now, and you're an experienced NFL guy. She was talking about John DeFilippo, the fired Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator, and I couldn't believe when she said,
I don't think that calling plays is necessarily the end-all, be-all for him. Would he be able to do it in Jacksonville? Yeah, but do you want to potentially go to Jacksonville and what could be a one-year situation and have to uproot your life again? I mean, that to me is the downside of that job. But you know, if he does get the job in Arizona, no, he's not calling plays, but he gets to do what he's been really, really good at throughout his career, which is developing young quarterback talent.
Granted, that's not him saying that, but that made a lot of sense to me. There's an interesting article today out of Pro Football Talk that says the Redskins actually talked to Steve Wilks and to Greg Williams and to Todd Bowles without firing their defensive coordinator, but talked to all three of those guys. And all three of them basically said, no, thank you. And the thought process was, why do I want to go somewhere that's always 500? So if Jay Gruden gets fired, I'm gone. When I can go somewhere where there's a lot more stability, because all three places where they ended up have a new head coach that, okay, unlike Steve Wilks, probably won't get gassed in year one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they went. And I was thinking about the Greg Williams article in relationship to John DeFilippo, that he doesn't have everybody jumping up and down and screaming for him like he had last year. He's got to rehabilitate the image a little bit. And I would think calling plays is vital, but exactly to her point, would you rather go to Jacksonville and only be there for a year on a team that's trying to find a quarterback, or be here to be able to tell the world Josh Rosen was the worst first round quarterback in the 2018 draft, and now he's X, you know, wherever you get him to at the end of 2019?
Well, and they need to get him into that completion percentage range of 68% to 71%. And that's not Paulie Pencilneck. That's Adrian Wilson on the Big Red Rage last week. Mm-hmm. That's the goal of the front office and the coaching staff right now, is to get him from about 55% completion percentage, worst in the NFL, up into that 68% to 71%, which historically, at least recently, has proven to be the key range to be a successful NFL quarterback. So that would be the tangible evidence. Without calling the plays, he could cite the before and the after. If he could get Josh Rosen from A to Z and do it in that 1 to 2 year range, then there's the evidence that he is that guy who can bring along a young quarterback, because we saw what he did in bringing Carson Wentz along MVP level before he got hurt in week 15 of his second year.
John DeFilippo, this story, Basinonians, this is the one that's got my attention right here. It's just so amazing what has happened. Precipitous, ladies and gentlemen. This dramatic surfacing of John DeFilippo, and you have to remember, 2017, this guy was talked about being the Cliff Kingsbury. He was talked about being the next Sean McVay.
It's so weird. He usurped Frank Reich, who was actually the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Everybody talked about John DeFilippo, and then because he took the Vikings offensive coordinator position, because that Colts job was filled not by Frank Reich, but by Josh McDaniels. And then he had already had the job when all of a sudden Josh McDaniels reneges on the promise, and now you're looking for somebody, and then we'll take Frank Reich. They're thrilled that they did, but he was the hottest commodity in coaching last year.
So what do you make of him getting fired midseason with the Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
How do you process that?
That's very, very tough right there, Paul.
Now, did the Vikings break out the moment he got fired? No. So obviously there's more going on there around Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs not delivering, and that offensive line was banged up and they never really got a reliable running game going. So how much of that was on Coach Flip or not? That's what you need to determine if you're the Arizona Cardinals and hiring this guy.
Do you think Mike Zimmer will open up about it? Because if I'm Steve Keim, I think I lean towards John DeFilippo. But I got to talk to Mike Zimmer because I want to know one thing. Was it out and out insubordination? I mean, I'm sure they had communication. And is he saying, I demand 25 runs a game, 30 runs a game? And John DeFilippo just patted him on the head and said, thanks, Zim, and then went about his own business? Or was it, he's calling plays, you told me I have autonomy, I'm using my autonomy? You know, you really need to know what happened between the two. Courtney Cronin said he's never really addressed it publicly.
Never heard John DeFilippo say anything bad, or try to counter anything that Mike Zimmer was saying. I think that he took his lumps, essentially, and dealt with it the best he could in Minnesota. But it definitely hurt him, and it hurt his stock, because I know there were several reports that came out, I believe, ahead of the Lions game in Week 16 that confirmed that he was no longer a head coaching candidate.
The very first thing that I'm going to ask John DeFilippo, if in fact I am Steve Keim at the interview, is going to be this right here. Are you coming here to try to prove something? Are you coming here to try to prove that your offense would have worked in Minnesota if in fact Mike Zimmer just left you alone? Are you coming here to prove that? Or are you going to come here and bring your expertise and your knowledge and your brilliance? Because supposedly he is a very, very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question I want answered.
Or maybe Coach Flip was the fall guy for the organization, putting nearly $90 million guaranteed into Kirk Cousins. And guess what? He's just a guy.
Point.
He's just a quarterback.
Great.
And the Wolf family's like, wait a minute. This guy's not delivering on the big money, guaranteed money we just paid him. Somebody's culpable. Guess what? The new offensive coordinator, you're gone.
The other name you need to know, Jim Bob Cooter has interviewed with the Cardinals. And I read a really good article at NFL.com, fascinating analytic article, on the most underperforming groups in football this year. And the reason why was analytic, it was based on an interesting subject matter, which was how much focus the general manager put on a position group in the offseason by free agent signings or draft, saying this is where I'm putting my investment, and then what did you get out of it? And one of the worst performing groups, this isn't going to shock you, Cardinals run offense. Looking at the amount of attention the offensive line got, the talk of Mike McCoy and David Johnson, and then Byron Leftwich, and then how little you got out of the running game. But another one was the Lions passing game, saying the amount of attention that was spent on that by the GM and by the front office of Detroit to improve it going into 2018 and how little they got out of it. Fair or not, that does fall on the lap of the offensive coordinator.
There's no doubt the Lions struggled this year throwing the ball. But, and I was looking at this yesterday, if you look at Matthew Stafford's completion percentage numbers from pre-Jim Bob Cooter to after he took over the last 4 years, 2015 through 18, as offensive coordinator, it is night and day.
Yes. Yeah. So, and interception's way down.
So if you're Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim, you're like, man, we got to get Josh Rosen that completion percentage up. Look what Jim Bob Cooter just did with Matthew Stafford. Yep. That's proven. That's
Jim Bob Cooter.
And we don't. So that alone means we want John DeFilippo, because we don't want to hear Wolf do that.
That is
all
a good
of
point.
I would love Jim Bob Cooter.
Coming up next, what's the latest right now on the Cardinals coaching search for an offensive coordinator, and who are they competing with? Steve Weisch, NFL Network reporter, will join us with the latest next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Steve Weisch is on NFL Network's live coverage of Championship Sunday coming up this weekend. Press conferences are today, starting at 9 a.m. as well, so he's going to be all over the place. Steve has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Steve, how's life?
Hey, life is good, man. You know, we're up early. We're going to have all the championship week news conferences and all the news reports all day today, so I got the early shift, so I'm all good.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. Your thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, I tell you, first off, I'll put it in before I get to my thoughts. You know, among like NFL assistant coaches and personnel people and whatever, the as I say, the thinking emoji. You know, the emoji where the emoji's got his hand kind of in its or it's facing its hand right now. Like,
yeah,
this is kind of drawing the biggest question marks, because people are just kind of wondering why now this and that. People know the offensive acumen. They know it's an offensive league. We heard Michael Bidwill talk about it, and they're hoping to get this offense going. But are you hiring an offensive coordinator and giving him a head coaching title, or are you hiring somebody who can really control the environment? We know that a lot of being a head coach in the NFL is crisis management, you know, dealing with a whole bunch of others. Is he that guy? Because if he is, then he could be a home run. But if not, you know, this is going to be one of these, like, what were the Cardinals thinking? So I think this is a real big wait and see. From my personal opinion, you know, I've heard nothing but very positive things about him in terms of an offensive play designer and an offensive schemer. But I heard the same things about Steve Spurrier and Bobby Petrino when they came to the NFL, too.
And Steve Wilks.
Yeah, and Steve Wilks. But, I mean, I'm talking about guys coming, you know, from college to the NFL.
Yes.
So let's see if they can really handle the kind of the different stakes and the different demands of being an NFL head coach as opposed to being in a college environment.
Just to let you know, Steve, we've been laughing about something from last week. We had the guru of Air Raid, Mike Leach, on the show to talk about his former quarterback in Cliff Kingsbury. And we asked, you know, how do you think this is going to go with him in the pros? And the reason why we asked it is I think you'll remember almost every Air Raid guy through the 90s and the beginning of this century were arguing like crazy, this will work in the NFL, get off our back, and everybody else was saying, no, it won't. And then Mike Leach said,
you know, I'm kind of curious myself.
I was like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like a guy standing up for it or anything. So it's different for us. As you've been following the Cardinals and, in a sense, this coaching search now to fill out the staff, have you noticed anybody that's kind of looking at it and saying, no way, I don't want to touch that because of maybe Steve Wilks only being there a year? I don't want to touch it because it's a rookie head coach who's never been in the NFL as a coach. I know he spent a little cup of coffee as a player, but because it looks like the staff has some pretty veteran guys on it that have been around the NFL for a long time and proven themselves.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody saying that they wouldn't want to take the job, because I think the one thing, you know, that you're going to get there is patience. You know, whereas they were quick with the trigger with Steve Wilks, I think they know they're getting a coach who's got to learn. You know, he's going to take a year or two to really kind of find his way. And so I think there's going to be patience with Cliff, unless it's just an outright disaster and you've got a player mutiny and all that type of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be patience, and I think anybody who wants to join the staff understands that for at least a couple of years they'll have some sort of security. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see, because, you know, guys, and Wolf, you know this especially, a lot of coaches are insecure now, and they don't want to hire staff members who they think are gunning for their jobs. There's a lot of coaches now who are looking over their shoulders. And so you just have to wonder the dynamic of staff that they're putting together to see if you have any of those climbers, as we like to call them, you know, on the staff who's going to make anybody, make Cliff Kingsbury or any coordinator, uncomfortable, because that is a dynamic that cannot be understated enough in the NFL.
But Steve, we're seeing this all across the NFL right now. Just the fact that organizations are identifying coaches and they're forcing their head coach to hire these guys on their staff. I think of what happened in New York. All right, the Jets.
Matt Rhule versus Adam Gase.
Just the fact they hired Adam Gase, and you could make an argument that Adam Gase was number four on their wish list. You could make that argument, but Greg Williams. They targeted Greg Williams as their defensive coordinator and may have had an agreement with him long before they hired Adam Gase.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the interesting dynamic about this hiring cycle, guys, is there were no new GMs coming in to make the hires. So most of these general managers making the hires are making their second, if not more, head coaching hires. So do you think guys who know that they're the next ones out are going to be hiring a dynamic, strong head coach? The only place we really saw that was in Tampa Bay. And Jason Light and Bruce Arians have a relationship.
Yep.
But look at that staff. I mean, that's a pretty strong staff they're putting together down there. You know, those are some people who feel very secure about what they're doing. But I don't know if you can sit there and say that about some of the other hires where these GMs are hiring strong people who are going to buck them at certain terms and challenge them. I mean, most of these coaches being hired are, you know, everyone's grateful to have a job, but a lot of these coaches being hired, like, okay, you can pick my staff. We sat there and saw Cliff Kingsbury at his news
conference.
So I'm really gonna rely on Steve Keim to help me through this process, because he basically knows more people in this league who know how to do it than I do.
You can follow
him. And you've seen.
Oh, sorry, Steve. I want to keep you on this topic, but in a different way. We're talking to Steve Wyche, NFL Network. You can follow him at Wyche89. It's got an E on the end with a Y in the middle. And that is, with what I'm hearing, are you saying that you don't think this is a trend of GMs being more in charge of the coaching staff as much as it is this is a hiring cycle with head coaches that have less power, the less big name head coach coming in, so because of that, the GM is wielding the power, and you don't think this is a new trend? Am I reading that right?
At 100%. And I was actually speaking to an owner about this, where, you know, there weren't the hot candidates out there. There was no Kyle Shanahan. There were, you know, there wasn't the guy that some teams were kind of tripping over to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I don't think this is going to continue, because the next cycle we're going to see is GMs getting blown out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's where you're going to see more of the typical hiring cycle, where GM and coach come in together as partners. You know, like we saw Steve Keim and Bruce Arians and some of the guys come in as partners. I think this was just a unique cycle where teams decided to pull the plug on the coaches and not on the general managers, because again, mm-hmm. we haven't seen that general manager turnover. I just think this is kind of a unique year when it comes to that process.
We're talking to Steve Wyche of the NFL Network here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Steve, can you tell us anything about John DeFilippo and what actually happened up there in Minnesota?
Oh,
are you getting any of the skinny on that? Because this guy was one of the hottest head coaching candidates in 2017.
Well, first thing we know is Mike Zimmer is not afraid to put an offensive coordinator on a green mile.
Yes.
I mean, from North Turner to DeFilippo. I mean,
good point, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, he's not hesitant to do that. It's a matter for everything that, you know, Flip wanted to throw the ball. He realized that his offensive line was not great. He wanted to throw the ball. Mike Zimmer was like, run the damn ball. And Flip was like, our line's not great. I'm going to throw it. And Zim was like, then you're going to be gone. So it was kind of that type of power struggle, but it's weird because, you know, Flip was in Cleveland and had kind of mixed reviews there, but everyone just said this guy's really sharp, he's got something to him. He goes to Philadelphia with that great staff that they have with Peterson and Frank Reich and him on there. Things work out, they win a Super Bowl, so now he's hot. Now he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just really don't know. A lot of times, again, it could be just a power struggle, coaching clash, personality clash. I don't think when it comes to John DeFilippo, though, mm-hmm. it's a matter of X's and O's. You know, he does have that respect.
Mm-hmm. I got about 20 seconds left, Steve. It's reserved for you. Plug yourself. Thanks for your time. What all are you doing today again?
Hey, man, you can check us out on the Conference Championship Wednesday. We'll go all through NFL Network. We have total access. Later in the week, I'll be with the Rams. I'm covering them heading into the NFC Championship. And then we've got game day. You know, game day morning and good morning football weekend all week, where we've got you covered for the championship games. Best weekend in the playoffs coming up.
Steve, thank you so much, buddy. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Okay,
that's Steve Wyche joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. CoulterNissan.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, or CoulterTempe.com is the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, how many things went wrong with the Suns last night? Are they ever going to get fixed? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Horrible referees! Yes, Abrams! Ray! Expect the Suns! Ray, expect a Sun driving into the rag and getting hacked. What do you know? And they're young players and in the NBA, yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is brought to you by AutoNation. 13 dealerships in the Valley, over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today.
I'm going to let that go, Basinonians. I'm going to let that go, all right? It was not the officials, not the officiating, but it was awful last night, period.
We're going to get into that, but I just found out something that you'll want to know.
Really?
This is just kind of a quick, very quick, funny story. Since you talked about officials, the AFC Championship game ref is actually the backup ref during the game of Patriots-Colts years ago with the Deflategate.
No!
He's the backup ref that then was the guy that was pulling footballs and then saying, yes, we've got a problem. Oh. And Blakeman was the guy that was pulling those footballs and then using the air pressure guide and then saying, hey, we've got a problem here.
Whoa.
So now he's doing the AFC Championship game, Patriots at Chiefs, and it will be very cold. So then we might have gas law things. And then where do you remember Cleet Blakeman from?
The flip.
Tails is the call.
No,
it didn't flip. It didn't flip. It didn't flip.
What?
It didn't flip.
Oh my goodness, Cleet. This is unreal.
It is heads. What the ball?
Did you see it?
The Packers called tails, and it was tails. But Cleet said it didn't flip, and therefore it doesn't count. Now there's actually no official rule that it has to flip, but it's just since it's called a coin flip, he decided, well, it didn't flip. So, therefore, we got to do it again.
I want to know, what is wrong with Cleet Blakeman's thumb?
And I want to know, everyone in the world, stand there. Just give yourself 2 minutes today. Try to toss a coin in the air and have it not flip. And he did it.
It spun in the air. What is going on with that, Cleet?
Oh, that was still...
Oh, that was so weird.
Still one of them. And how quickly he was to notice that. I mean, when you flip a coin, do you really pay attention? But listen how quick.
Tails is the call.
Tails, okay.
No, it didn't flip. It didn't flip.
I mean, it happened that fast.
Yeah, he was throwing it up when he said it. Tails is the call.
And it happened that fast.
He couldn't do that again if he tried.
No way.
The rest of his life.
No way.
Couldn't do it again.
Absolutely impossible. So Cleet Blakeman's got that game. If you really care, Bill Vinovich is going to be the NFC Championship game head referee. So you just mentioned officiating at the beginning of the beautiful part of the program as it relates to the Phoenix Suns, and that was some of the words heard by the Phoenix or said by the Phoenix Suns players during this game with how bad the officiating was. The Suns shot half as many free throws as Indiana did. Indiana made 27. The Suns shot 18. Yes, made and shot. And then there was that after the game, as Kelly Oubre just said, they kicked our butt and we have to move on. But he did not say that. And I everything that's starting to come out of Kelly Oubre's mouth is stronger and stronger after the game. And yet what was weird is he was hated on during the game. You know, we were talking AFC Championship game, and you'll agree with this. So many people have always said, Chiefs fans, it's getting a little wine and cheese, but Chiefs fans bring a college football type atmosphere to a game.
Yeah,
I never said this before, but I guess so do Pacer fans bring a college-like atmosphere. I've never been to a Pacer game. Yeah. I grew up about an hour and a half, two hours away.
Kind of makes sense, right? In the heart of basketball.
Hardcore basketball area. But Kelly Oubre's at the line last night.
Suns continue to struggle.
What are they saying?
They are chanting, John Wall hates you. They did not scream like that, though, Barry.
From the free throw line, now 4 of 9.
Yeah, and you just don't expect it.
John Wall hates you. And it got to, on the first shot, he missed. And it was ugly.
Awful from the line last night.
That first shot when they were chanting, it was an ugly miss. And he did. I don't want to act like I have his whole routine memorized, but it looked like he backed away from the line a little bit to get himself resettled after hearing the John Wall hates you. And then he sunk it. He sunk the next free throw after it. But when I was watching, I admit I was like, I could not tell what they were saying as I was listening to the game or watching the game. But then when I went on Twitter, I found out that they were chanting, John Wall hates
you.
That's
so, honestly, it really is a college atmosphere, like you said. I have heard that before, now that I think about it, Douglas, but 1 of 5 from the line for Kelly Oubre. He was struggling mightily at the line, but guess what? So were the Suns overall.
Oh my gosh. And that's the thing. The Suns, the NBA has an officiating problem, and this is becoming a bigger story with the Suns. The Suns have an officiating problem too, because there is this long trend now that we have multiple examples. It's happening once a week where their free throw attempts are getting dwarfed by the opposition. And some of it is, yes, the Suns' fault, without beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yep.
Attack the basket, move your feet, and actually build yourself a defensive reputation.
No doubt.
Because the refs are lazy. Haywood Workman was one of the refs. He's a horrific official. He dreams of being as bad as Scott Foster, and he tries every night. He doesn't quite get there, but he's terrible. And the Suns, because they don't have a defensive reputation, get called for ticky-tack fouls. Because they're not attacking the basket enough, they don't get the calls on the other end.
Because they have a bunch of young guys.
And that's, it's ridiculous, because a foul should be a foul. And the reason why I bring this up is not to complain, because this has been a 40-45 year problem with the NBA, so it's not suddenly happening to the Suns. I'm bringing it up from an Igor Kokoschkov standpoint. Igor, you should never wake up any morning and care what a sports talk show host thinks about you. Too many people have told me how brilliant you are in the game of basketball mentally, and for me to ever doubt what you know about the game. I mean, really good basketball people think Igor is a great coach. Mm. But you can be a great assistant coach and still be considered a great coach. And Igor, this is one thing I'm telling you right now. You are losing your basketball team. You might not want to think that, but I guarantee you, when people get cheap fouls, this hurts the pocketbook, because what happens is the player now has to sit, so they lose out on points. Their averages go down. Then they start getting fined because they get technical fouls, and they're looking at you to do something about it. Your team's getting trucked and run over by the opposition and the refs, and you're not doing anything about it. This is when you've got to show the passion for your players. You've got to show that this is something that bothers you and stand up for them, and you pick up technical fouls, and I mean angry technical fouls.
Yeah.
I mean, I...
Right.
You've got to go, and right now you just seem like a nice-mannered... I wish I had your problem. I wish I was as nice as you as a human being. But right now the referees are not worried about you or your opinion at all, and you're not going to get the call.
Well, when you're tapped into the rage train, you're competing. And I'm sure coaches compete with their players. There's no doubt about it. They do it on a different level. They do it mentally, of course. They do it emotionally inside. They can't do it physically, but I'm sure they're out there and they're still competing. And I wonder about James Jones. I just think of James Jones. Here he is, the interim general manager for the Phoenix Suns, and how he doesn't say to him as a former player, Igor, you know, what are you doing? You know, in other words, why don't you go Ric Flair on somebody out there? What? Woo! You know, how do you not lose it at some?
Wow, Bear.
That is good right there.
Bear.
Go Ric Flair. He's got to be hearing that from James Jones.
I would think.
You would think, right?
Or one
he's
of his
gotta
other
He's got to be hearing it from basketball people that at some point in time, maybe it's just Igor showing incredible restraint.
I'm telling you, though, the Suns picked up two technicals last night, and if you don't see Igor pick up one here in the next week, I think you're going to see a lot more technical fouls being called on the Suns. The WWE is taking over Phoenix, speaking of Ric Flair, January 26th through the 29th. Royal Rumble, SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, and NXT TakeOver all come to Chase Field and Talking Stick Resort Arena. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com, and you can get complete details, and you've got a chance to win tickets. Coming up next, have you noticed the trend here? There's some major key components that link this new Cardinal staff. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go sit around a campfire at some Tucson resort? Are they going to go play paintball? Which I highly recommend with amateurs.
Oh, it's an exciting time over in Tempe right now, Basinonians. just to sit in a room and watch these guys grease it up, I would.
That's what I'm thinking.
Cold, hard cash.
One of the things that's going to be vitally important this year, if the Cardinals are going to do anything in the 2019 season, is coaching chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a head coach that basically has to teach his coaches this offense. And they have to teach him what you can and can't do in the NFL versus what you can and can't do in the pros. And this is a very, very small example, and I'm sure, Wolf, you have about 40 of them, and I only have one. But simply how you're allowed to block downfield on an RPO.
Yeah, that's
you,
a great point.
You get a yard as an offensive lineman in the NFL. You get 3 yards downfield.
Totally changes it.
As a college football offensive lineman. So what plays take too long to develop, and you'll end up with offensive linemen downfield if they're run blocking in the NFL, that you've got to scale back if you are the head coach. And remember, the RPOs for the air raid offense are a lot less of the reads are a lot less of the I'm going to try to use the defensive end and decide, am I going to keep this or pass it? It's more of a I'm going to use the tight end and see what your linebackers do and things like that, where, okay, what can we get away with? What can't we? And this is all coaching chemistry.
Yeah.
And I like what Mike Tyson famously said, we can all have a game plan until you get punched in the face.
Yes.
So how strong are you going to be able to build this chemistry until you get punched in the face in week one?
That's a great point, Doug Lease. But to me, overall, it's more intriguing. What do all of these coaches and these hires mean? What does it say? What does it mean for the Arizona Cardinals and what they're doing right now? There are five things, Basinonians, five things that I look at right now. Number one, Cliff Kingsbury must be brilliant.
Number one.
Number two, Doug Lease.
Number two.
Cliff Kingsbury is not going to go Chip Kelly.
Three.
David Johnson should look like Dirty Dave.
Number four.
The Cardinals are going to run a 3-4. That's right. The Cardinals are going to run a 3-4 defense, and they're going to play bad free.
Number five.
This was not cheap. Which one do you want to start?
I'm on number five. I thought of that exact same thing.
This was not cheap.
Because you've got, whether you want to admit it or not, you've got coaches that want to be sure. You got coaches that are saying, wait a minute, I've been in this league X amount of years, and you want me to sign up with a rookie, not only a rookie head coach, a rookie NFL coach. I got to be sure that this is worth my family's while here, and you're already paying Steve Wilks' staff.
It is stunning. You're paying Steve Wilks and his staff, and yet you've gone out and you've put together a staff of NFL coaches. And they're NFL coaches that had options to go elsewhere, most of these guys. It's just stunning to me to see this. This is coming back to number one. Cliff Kingsbury must be brilliant. These coaches don't have a ton of experience with each other, and most of them have no exposure to each other. And yet you don't care. You're like, hey, Cliff, you just do you, and we'll take care of the rest. This guy's apparent brilliance is making the Cardinals the vanguard of the new way and the new day in this league. The vanguard. We'll hire this brilliant offensive mind, and guess what? We'll staff it out for him with NFL coaches that will take his brilliance and be able to conform it, mold it, blend it, instead of go Chip Kelly and say, oh no, I'm going to change the game forever. And he has. Chip Kelly has. But I think it was more about actually changing football in the football universe than it was about actually winning games. Because ultimately, what happened with Chip Kelly and all of his teams, for the most part, the gross simplification of it is this: they fatigued at the end of the season. When you need to be going up, they were going down. And that was the problem, because of the system that he ran. And he wouldn't alter it. Now, what does that tell you? He was trying to change the football universe and prove that it would work instead of just beating Philadelphia or beating San Francisco.
Did you ever feel like B.A. was like that?
No. B.A., that was his offense.
Because I did late. You know, I loved it at the beginning, but when the injury started and he still kept going for it on fourth down, or he still kept chucking it down the field on a third and two, sure, when it didn't work anymore. I mean, you didn't have the same players that you did when you first got to the Arizona Cardinals, or you had an injured quarterback, or you had a banged up offensive line that couldn't protect to take a shot down the field. But he was like, this is what I do.
Yes.
I'm still no risk at no biscuit, but I was thinking your players aren't.
He's been running that offense forever.
Okay.
He was just dogmatic about it working, and guess what? For the most part, it did. Number two, I would say that the fact that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to change the league, so to speak, that's not his – he's not going to go Chip Kelly. I think that's huge right there. And they brought NFL coaches in that have recently coached at the college level, a lot of the guys. And I think that's beautiful because they can blend the old and the new. They brought hardcore NFL coaches into the coaches' room, and the blending of the two, the old and the new, is happening now as we speak, Basinonians, right now. The coaches are over there greasing it up on the grease board. They're creating this offense out of nothing. Now, when I say that, that's a gross simplification of the truth, okay? That really is. But I can tell you that Cliff Kingsbury and his air raid offense is going to be different than Sean Kugler and his power scheme. I mean, it's just stunning to me. They're blending the old and the new to create a playbook that has not existed for the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm wondering, do you remember Ryan McDonough admitting after the DeAndre Ayton workout that part of the plan was for DeAndre Ayton to go over with Devin Booker and some of the guys and just get together and watch the playoffs? It was just go be together, and then ask the players later, okay, how did that go? I wonder if some of the offensive coordinator interviews is not just Steve Keim, it's the whole staff. Bring in the O-line coach, bring in the running backs coach, bring in the wide receivers coach, bring in Cliff Kingsbury, and do exactly what you're saying with the prospective offensive coordinators. And then check in with all the other assistants.
Right.
How do you think you guys mesh?
That's a great point.
How did this go? How's he picking up the offense? And Steve Keim can just sit in that room or not sit in the room and just see how it goes, because unlike normal offensive coordinators who come in with their system, their ideas, and sometimes even their own position group coaches, he's coming in saying, this is you've got to fit into this group.
The Cardinals offense, the Red Raid, is being pieced together like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Even as we speak.
I should have known there was a literary reference somewhere.
How beautiful is that? It is alive! Alive, I tell you! Right now it's happening.
But is it going to win?
That's there's just one problem. Can you win a game with it?
Bring five or more non-perishable food items to Talking Stick Resort Arena on January 22nd, and you'll receive two tickets to the Suns-Timberwolves game that night. Wow, that's pretty unbelievable. You just walk in, you got five non-perishable food items, and you get two tickets. That's pretty impressive by the Suns.
Deal.
Text HUNGER to 620-620 for complete details on the Fry's Food Stores and Phoenix Suns Zero Hunger Game benefiting Phoenix Suns charities. Again, if you want more info, text HUNGER to 620-620. Coming up next, probably one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, if you're just talking about talent and production, and he could be on the market. One former coach of his has spoken. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.